Look at the book of Ruth. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. And I'll be reading for us this evening verses 1 to 6. Ruth chapter 1, found on page 282 of your pew Bibles. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab, and they remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. Let's look to him in prayer. Almighty God, we do pray that you would guide us in our study of this portion of your word this evening, that we would understand its import to us as your people. Help us, Lord, even to identify those areas of struggle that yet befall us, that we easily fall prey to, that, Lord, we would not so easily fall prey to them again, but rather that our eyes would be focused upon you. Guide us by your Spirit, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. This morning we looked at just the first two verses, and we there had the setting of this book put before us, that this was a book that was written, or that occurred, this account of Ruth occurred during the time of the judges. And we discussed at length that that was also not just to give us a historical marker as to when this book occurred, but also to give us some indication of the spiritual condition of God's people at this time. That it was to trigger within our minds a memory of those oft-repeated phrases within the book of Judges, that every man did what was right in his own eyes. And to recall from those accounts within the book of Judges that when Israel did what was right in their own eyes, it often ended in great calamity, hardship, pain, famine, and other afflictions. We looked at the fact that here we see Elimelech in the midst of a famine that has befallen the breadbasket of Israel, makes a very pragmatic decision. He decides that he and his family will just pick up and move to Moab. And perhaps there, after they'd heard reports that Moab had not been affected by the famine, there they might escape the effects of the famine and they might thrive until such a time that the Lord would lift the famine that had befallen the promised land. We looked at the fact that Elimelech didn't really seek out any counsel that we found within that passage. He didn't look to the Word of God to guide him. He certainly wasn't under any commendation by God to pick up and leave and abandon that land that God had given them as an inheritance. But rather, he took it upon himself to go, deeming it of greater value to him and to his family to go and abide in that land of Moab. Well, we don't have to go very far into the passage to see that this doesn't go well for Elimelech and his family. And as we look at this passage, it's amazing to see how easily we can awaken and find ourselves so far down a terrible road of sin and rebellion. In our passage this evening, we're looking at the fallout of the decisions made by Elimelech and his family, and the calamitous effect that it had upon the family of Elimelech and Naomi. So let's look here tonight at verses 3 through 6. First, we find in verse 3, "But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons." We don't know how long they had lived there, but we did note this morning that the original intention of their movement to Moab was to have been a short season. It was to be what was termed a sojourn. It wasn't to pursue permanent residence in Moab. But we didn't even get to the end of verse 2 before we read that they lived there, that the wording had changed. They'd gone to something much more permanent. Life had begun to pass them by. They had settled in. And sometime after they had made that decision to reside within Moab, the breadwinner of the family, Elimelech, here comes and dies. Our story that had begun with hardship that stemmed from a famine in Israel now turns from a hardship to a calamity. As we begin to look further into this chapter of Ruth tonight, now this bread earner of the family has suddenly died far from home, far from the support of family and the church, far from the safeguards that made Israel unique among its neighbors, the laws of Israel having some safeguards in place for the widows, the orphans, even the sojourners, and their provision. Something that Moab didn't have. We see in verse 3, another opportunity now is before Naomi. An opportunity to repent of that decision to move to Moab, to abandon the land that God had promised to them. To repent of not seeing that they were bound to repent of sin, both corporately as a nation as well as individually, rather than seek to escape the arm of God's discipline. Another opportunity here arises to repent. At this point in our story, Naomi is likely confronted with aspects of a life that are not so pleasant. We mentioned that her name translated means pleasant, one who is pleasant, or pleasant times. And increasingly, Naomi is finding that the times in which she lives are anything but pleasant. She may hearken back to the days before the famine, and there she may remember pleasant times when God was pleased to add to their family these two sons, when they had an abundance. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem. They were one of the families of renown. They lived in the breadbasket of Israel. They had no want. But then the famine came and they had want. Then they thought they could escape that want and go to Moab and there find all that they needed. But now she finds herself without one to supply her with all that she needs. Depending on the age of her boys, Naomi's life would now more drastically change as she sought to meet the needs of her family, and as I mentioned, without the benefit of those laws that existed in Israel that even preserved a corner of every field for those that were in need to get the grain that they so desperately needed. This event could also have brought with it an opportunity before Naomi to repent and to return to her God and to her countrymen and to her family. Yet we see here that Naomi elects to remain. They elect to remain within Moab. And isn't this often the case when there's a matter of sin within our life? that we may be confronted with difficulties and hardships. We may feel like we're kicking or pushing against a wall. But rather than give up that sin and that poor decision or course that we have set for ourselves, what do? But we instead tend to double down on that decision and try even harder to see it become successful, rather than truly judge it for what it is and repent and make a course correction and return in obedience to the Word of God. And so here we see that they continue on. They don't continue on for a short time, but we see that they establish themselves, not only has Naomi established her home in Moab, but we see now the establishment of even more homes within Moab. Now we see that Mahlon and Chilion have come to age to take for themselves wives. Again, another opportunity that arises that should have stirred within their minds the commands of God that would have had them looking back home to Israel, to their fellow countrymen and believers in God, to look for a suitable wife for their sons. But rather, they look around them. They deem Moab now to be their home. And we see the level of roots that they have put down, that they find those who neighbor near them and take for themselves Moabite wives. These Moabite wives are introduced to us. Orpah is the name of one, and Ruth. And we're going to learn much more about Ruth in the coming chapters. And we see that after they took wives, again, they reside there for at least 10 years. We mentioned this morning that some of the scholars had speculated that this book of Ruth and this famine perhaps coincided with the invasion of the Midianites into Israel. And that had been a prolonged affliction on Israel that had led to really the decimation of the countryside as the Midianites and the Amalekites and others would come in and take all of the crops from the fields and slaughter all of the animals and really leave Israel in great need. But we know from the book of Judges that that affliction only lasted 7 years. And what we find within these first few verses is a much longer stint that the family of Naomi has made their home within Moab. We see here that Naomi and her children have made their home outside of the promised land. Their actions indicate that they didn't show any inclination to return to Israel. And by this time, the promised land is becoming but a very distant memory. We see that there is a tendency here, and we see it not only in Naomi, but we see it even in our own lives sometimes, to attribute our own security to our family rather than to God. Naomi, after the loss of her husband, perhaps saw her sons coming up. They were growing in their strength, and she saw perhaps developing security that would come for her as soon they would be of age, establishing their households, be able to look after her and care for her in her old age. And she stakes her claim in the establishment of those households, attributing to them greater measures of security than she felt for the promised land under God's watchful eye. Watching her sons grow, establishing their home, she would have thought that perhaps better days are ahead for me. I just need to weather this short season of affliction without Elimelech by my side. And certainly, in my old age, easier days are to come. It's easy to think of our own families in such a way, and in the process to fail to realize who it is that truly is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Another thing that we see within verse 4 here is just how quickly time passes by. I'm certain when they left the promised land, as it said in verse 1, they intended to sojourn. They intended for this to be a short season of life. But how quickly that decade plus passed by. And from this point, they remain in Moab for another 10 years. This is even after the Midianites had been pushed out of Israel. Now we've seen hardship have added to it sadness at the death of Elimelech. And now we see added to that the complexities of taking foreign wives. We now are going to add even another layer of calamity upon this one whose name is translated pleasant. We read in verse 5, "And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband." Once again, great calamity befalls Naomi. Now her sons die. Now she finds herself not only without a husband, but without her sons. She finds herself a foreigner in a pagan land with no family to look after her. And the added responsibility now also of caring for and looking after the widows of her sons. We're seeing that God is removing one after another the earthly comforts from Naomi's life. It's now at this point that we see that God has taken everything, humanly speaking, from Naomi that perhaps had once and at one time made her life seem pleasant. Where once she may have thought the famine in Israel to be bad, at least then she had the blessing of her husband and family and her extended clan, and she dwelt in a land that by the command of God expressed care and support for those aliens and widows within its borders. All of those things are presently missing for Naomi in verse 5. And it's at this point, when all hope seems lost, when all help is absent, when survival seems threatened, that we will begin to see within this small book of some 85 verses, God's hand at work to draw this family back. We see in verse 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food." It's at this point when the buzz of life has been completely interrupted that word first gets back to Naomi of God's returned favor being lavished upon Israel. Sometimes our busy lives can so drown out our hearing that we fail to see God's handiwork, let alone appreciate it. Sometimes it's the hardships of life that yield within us a contemplation and quietness of heart and mind that allow us once again to hear Him. And it's at this point when Naomi was struggling to find enough grain in the fields of others to meet the needs of herself and her daughters-in-law, that she hears those, perhaps others who were also equally facing trial and hardships, acclaiming the wonders of a people whose God is now pouring out abundance upon them. As stories from Israel once again begin to spread throughout the neighboring nations of a God who loves his people and who cares for them and lavishes upon them an abundance and does not leave them in want. And oh, how all of those whose backs were hurting must have thought that sounded amazing. And it begins to stir in the mind of Ruth the memory of what true pleasantness is and where it is to be found. It's at this point that Naomi is confronted, and we begin to see her repenting of that decision to leave and to go into a foreign land rather than to be and abide where God had intended his people to abide. And she arises from what she is doing. And she realizes her home is in Israel. You see, an important takeaway from this passage for us today is that it is never too late to turn from our sin and to return to Him. So far in this story, we have seen the repeated efforts of men and women to push ahead in their own designs and how those things often yield only more pain and hardship. We're reminded, much like that account of Jonah, we are reminded in Jonah when he sought to run away from God that we cannot escape the reach of God, either when he is disciplining us or also when he stretches out his hand to draw us near to him, bringing us back into fellowship and safety. And as we continue in our study of chapter 1 next week, we're going to be looking at this return of Naomi to the promised land. We're going to look at how she pleads with her daughters-in-law, to return to their homes, and how God is pleased to draw one of those daughters-in-law with Naomi and to place within her heart to go where she goes and to make her people as well, and to make the God of Naomi her God. And so we'll be looking at that next week. Let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God, as we begin this study, we've dealt today with a sad passage that shows how often we would follow our own designs rather than seek your face and your counsel from the word that you have so lovingly entrusted to our care to guide and direct us in all matters of faith and life. And as we read of these hardships, Lord, may we also recall those times in our lives where we too are guilty of averting our eyes and pursuing our own desires and doubling down on our decisions rather than, Lord, seeking counsel, seeking your face, desirous and desiring to do your commands and obey your statutes because we know they are good and intended for our good. Lord, rather than flee hardships, help us, Lord, when we find ourselves in a season of difficulty, to first examine ourselves, to be certain that it isn't a matter of sin within our lives that needs to be repented of. And Lord, rather than rest upon our own strength and our own devices, make us quick, Lord, to call out to you, to cry out in our need for our great deliverer. Lord, we pray that as we continue in this study, you would guide us, that, Lord, you would cause us, like Naomi, to recognize our sin and to repent of those things and to return as you would have her to do. Guide and direct us in all these things, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.